Matt, obviously a huge blow. I've watched the replay tons of times. What did you think of the play?
It was reckless. I don't think it was dirty. There's a difference there. It's a young player that doesn't have great rebounding skills, great rebounding instincts, or a whole lot of upper body muscle. Basically locking arms up with love, and that armbar move is a pretty commonly used one. Andrew Bogut uses that a lot to trap the opponent and keep him back. But the way that he did it and the fact that he would be pulled on it, that's what caused the injury, and that's why what's got Love so upset. I don't think Olynyk meant to cause the injury, but he also wasn't considerate enough to prevent it. And I think that's a good reason to criticize him at this point.
So Olynyk got the one-game suspension. J.R. Smith suspended 2 games. So the Cavs are now down Smith and Love. Now, Smith's obviously not nearly as much of a loss, but that's 2 guys and you're starting 7.
Yeah, it's not good. It's not good to lose those guys, especially because they're probably going to be facing a pretty tough Bulls team. Smith gives them a lot of outside shooting when he's hot. He's not great in terms of decision-making, obviously, but that does a lot for them. Love is a bigger issue, and one of the things that it means is that you're going to see more of LeBron James at power forward, which he really wanted to avoid. He didn't necessarily want to play that way. It also means that they have one less shooter on the floor because James prefers to play with one big and 3 other shooters with him. And that's just not going to be possible with the way their roster is constructed. So you're going to see a lot more of James in power forward. It's going to make it a little bit uglier for them on the offensive end. And while Love was a neutral to negative defensive player, there's a cost on the offensive end, and their team defense hasn't been great. So there's kind of a domino effect here in how Love's injury could pull them down.
Matt Moore from CBS Sports joins us talking NBA playoffs. So you mentioned the Cavaliers will likely play the Bulls in the next round. Chicago still needs to get by Milwaukee. How surprised were you that Milwaukee was able to force a Game 6 with a victory last night?
Not shocked. Pleasantly surprised at Michael Carter-Williams' play. He really stepped up and did good things for them. Chris Middleton's earning himself a big payday this summer. That Bulls offense sometimes like that car you owned in college where sometimes it runs, and sometimes you get in the car to try and go to work, and it just doesn't start for you, and that really gives them problems. Their offense is very inconsistent, and when that happens, teams like this can sneak up on them. Historically, under Thibodeau, they haven't been great in the playoffs in terms of just taking care of teams, so it's not surprising that Milwaukee was able to hang. It is kind of surprising that they were able to put up points, though, which is something that they've struggled all year with.
Matt, I believe the Atlanta Hawks led the East from wire to wire all season long. They won over 60 games, basically ran away with the East, but they find themselves now in a best of three against Brooklyn. Now, have the Hawks kind of choked away the last 2 games, or has Brooklyn really been the better team?
Brooklyn's really been the better team. They've matched up extremely well with Atlanta this entire series. They've made this into their type of series. They've dictated the pace, they've dictated the tone, and they've controlled things with their size. They've made it into a series of one-on-one matchups and taken away the Hawks' free-flowing offense to move the ball all around the perimeter by targeting the passing lanes. And with them not having any sort of answer for Brook Lopez and the kind of adjustments that Lionel Hollins has made, all of the momentum is with Brooklyn now. This thing's looking more and more like an upset.
And a lot of people felt like Atlanta was just the team that great regular season team. And, now I know the series is not over, but when you look, what's been the biggest difference in how they've played playoffs compared to the regular season?
They've missed shots. They've just missed a ton of shots. Game 4 was a defensive lapse for them, in large part because Deron Williams scored 35 points, which is about as likely as the dead rising from the grave. But Game 3, they only shot 30% on uncontested shots. That's from NBA.com. That's crazy for them. They're a great shooting team that has missed a ton of looks in these playoffs. Their defense fell apart last night, and that's why this is really becoming a perfect storm kind of thing where everything seems to be going wrong at once for them.
Well, and if your shooters go cold at the wrong time of the year, you're going to be cold as an organization rather quickly. And when you say uncontested, that to me is the one stat that's most glaring. It's almost like, that would be the under pressure factor that they're not living up to.
It could be that. I think a lot of it is, the angles that the Nets are forcing them into, the kind of shots that they're forcing them into. So either they're uncontested, they're not in rhythm. And just by disrupting them overall, they've got them a little bit out of whack. Then you factor in the fact that Paul Millsap and Al Horford are both dealing with injuries, and those are two of your better players. And with them unable to take advantage of one-on-one matchups inside, that makes it easier for the Nets to stay home on the shooters outside and prevents better looks. So it's kind of, again, domino effect where an injury happens, they can't score inside, the shooters have guys covering them, and then things just get worse from there.
Matt Moore from CBS joins us talking NBA playoffs. At two games tonight, the Rockets take on the Mavs and the Clippers take on the Spurs. I want to get your thoughts, though, on the Battle of Texas between Houston and Dallas. After game four, I believe it was, Mavericks head coach Rick Carlisle taped his mouth shut to prevent getting fined. He was critical of the NBA refs. Do you think he had a legit beef, Matt?
No. Carlisle knew that he needed to get a fine there in order to try and exert the kind of change that he wanted in terms of how the series is being called. But if things had gone differently, it's not like if things were being called unevenly in the Mavericks' favor, Carlisle was going to make a big fuss about it. You know, this is just posturing, which happens a lot. Bill Jackson's done it in the past. I tend to think that a lot of this is, it's hard to say that the Mavericks are being officiated unfairly when his problem was with Dwight Howard, who's just bigger and stronger, and the Mavericks have been unable to consistently cover. They did a good job in game four. And maybe that's the big secret here, though, is whatever it was that he said, all of a sudden they win game four. So I think he'll definitely be okay with that fine, which I'm pretty sure his owner's going to pick up the tab for.
Yeah, you're probably right on that one, Matt. The Spurs are taking on the Clippers. It's now down to a best of three. I've been glued to this series. It's one of my favorite ones to watch. What's this series going to come down to, Matt, between obviously the vets that have been there before and kind of the new kids on the block in the LA Clippers?
It's so close in this series, and there's so many players performing at a high level. Blake Griffin, Chris Paul, Tim Duncan, Kawhi Leonard. It's really going to be found in the margins. Can Danny Green knock down some threes? He's been really cold. Can the Spurs hit a few free throws? They've really struggled in that area. Can the Clippers contain their turnovers? Are they going to have enough energy? Because they're playing their starters way more. They played their starting unit 94 minutes in this series. The Spurs have played theirs 34. So there's a huge disparity in terms of the amount of minutes because the Clippers have such a terrible bench, and the Clippers have to find a way to keep that energy level up. It's all these little things in the margins that are going to decide the series, as well as just a few shots falling because they're both playing at such a high level.
Matt, I want to get your thoughts on the Toronto Raptors. They get swept out of the first round of the playoffs by Washington, looked completely disoriented in that series. What would you do if you were the GM in Toronto?
I would make major changes. I think that they need a reconfiguration of how the entire team is kind of built schematically. Their offense was predicated on a bunch of isolation plays from low percentage players. Historically, they had good years last year, but it wasn't sustainable. They need a more free-flowing offense, need better shooters. They definitely need better perimeter defenders. They've got to make changes there. The coaching staff, I think Dwayne Casey's a great coach, but he hasn't done a great job there, and it may be time for a change. And with Masai Ujiri, him not being a Masai Ujiri guy, it might be time for Ujiri to get the guy that he wants in. More than anything, they really need kind of a new focus for the team. I'm not sure Kyle Lowry can be the best player on a championship team or even a team that gets out of the first round. They need to find some way to improve their talent level, and maybe all the marketing that they've done and showing that they can be a regular season team will help lure free agents. But they've got a pretty big task ahead of them, I think, in terms of turning this roster into a great one.
Matt, I just want to get to your thoughts just back on the entire Toronto Raptors season. They started off red hot and kind of cooled off. And me personally, I think this season should be a failure for the Raptors. They couldn't get out of the first round of the playoffs. So how are people in the United States viewing the great start for the Raptors and then just kind of the crash back down to earth?
Yeah, I think some people are surprised because it was such a feel-good story. And I think people liked the way they played and the fact that they were so competitive. And Kyle Lowry was an all-star. I think they were really kind of shocked that things fell off as hard as they did. Just the fact that the defense collapsed so completely. With Dwayne Casey being a defensive-oriented coach, with Jonas Valanciunas being a big man that should be able to help down inside, and with defenders on the perimeter like DeMar DeRozan, Kyle Lowry, and really even Terrence Ross having good defensive capability, for them to be just such a sieve on the perimeter was really kind of shocking. I think everyone's kind of aware now that this roster simply wasn't good, but I think they're surprised to find out how well they played that first month.
Matt, quickly, who are you taking in that best of three now between the Clip and the Spurs?
As a coin, I'll go with San Antonio. I refuse to go against them, but that's the only reason I got is the fact that it's the Spurs, and going against them seems like doom. Death, taxes, and Spurs is what I always say, but either team that comes out of this, they're two great teams. It's been a good series. They'll probably be a great finish. It's going to be really tight to the end. You can honestly just flip a coin.
Matt, really appreciate the rundown. Enjoy the remaining series in the first round.
Anytime. Thanks.